Lecture 5, Abbasid Baghdad and Fatimid Egypt.
In this lecture and the following lecture, I want to sketch out the Islamic world on the eve of the Crusades. Both of these lectures really require us to look back to a number of developments in Islam since the founding of the faith by the Prophet Muhammad. And I wish to outline the development of Islamic institutions from the Prophet through the early Abbasid Caliphate. These are the successors of Muhammad who ruled at Baghdad. The Islamic Empire in the 11th century, as well as the Chinese Empire, were probably the most successful civilizations on the Eurasian landmass. And in 1095, when the Crusaders trekked east, many of the lands through which they passed, the Islamic lands, were under the authority of the Abbasid Caliph. The Abbasid Caliphate, to this day, among most Muslims, is seen as a golden age, and rightly so, for a variety of reasons. So in this particular lecture, I would first sketch out the developments, political developments, military, institutional developments, from the time of the Prophet to the founding of the Abbasid Caliphate, which centered their capital at Baghdad in Iraq. And in so doing, in many ways, became heirs to the Near Eastern administrative, religious, and institutional traditions that stretch back to the earliest civilizations of Mesopotamia. Then I want to look at some of the achievements of this empire, with particular stress on the diverse religious community that you had in the Abbasid Caliphate. This is an important point to stress, because I've mentioned in passing on a few occasions that when the Crusaders arrived in the Near East, large numbers of the population were still Christian. There were also significant Jewish communities, and in the eastern lands of Islam, many were Zoroastrians or Buddhists. Even certain pagan groups, which were legitimized under the Quran, were also existing in large numbers. For instance, in the city of Haran, ancient Karai, there was a pagan group known as the Sabaeans, who somehow got themselves legitimated under the Quran, a Quranic passage, and were therefore classified as people of the book, who were protected under Islamic law. Then the third point is to look at the political fragmentation of the Abbasid Caliphate. Ironically, the vision of Muhammad, which I had stressed in several earlier lectures, of a single ummah, community of believers, was fragmented by the time the Crusaders arrived. There were at least two major candidates for caliph, successor. One, the Fatimid caliphs in Cairo, the other, the Abbasid caliphs in Baghdad. And this fragmentation of the political and religious authority in the Near East in the time of the First Crusade was a significant factor in the success of the Crusaders. And with that, we'll close this lecture with some thoughts on why this division took place. Now, Muhammad claimed to be the last of a series of prophets in succession from the Hebrew prophets, the Christian prophets. In the Islamic tradition, Isa, that is Jesus, is regarded as the last and greatest of prophets. And his mother Mary is also venerated in the Islamic tradition. I do extensive work in Turkey, and even to this day, there's a tradition around shrines of Mary, early Christian shrines of Mary, of Turkish Muslims tying white paper or cloth to shrubs as a way of ensuring successful childbearing. It's an ancient appeal that goes back to Christian times, carried over into later Muslim times. So that from the start, approximately 610, when Muhammad began to have his visions, Muhammad saw himself as standing very much in the tradition of the Hebrew prophets. At the time, Mecca was a leading caravan center in Western Arabia. It was also home to an important Jewish community, and there are a number of disputes to understand exactly where Muhammad got some of his notions. But Muslims very quickly came to believe that his sayings, the so-called surah, which were codified and eventually published in the Quran, were the direct word of God, the direct manifestation of God's will.